And we're really happy tonight to have Ken Newman joining us, and he's the founder, publisher of Duluth Shipping News. And I know, Ann, you like to watch those ships go by your house.
I do. It's so fun to see them. But, you know, I don't know that much about them direction they're going, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, we do have the information now on Boreal.
Yeah.
So you can actually click when there's a ship coming by our area to see what that ship is, the name, you know, how big, all that stuff. And a lot of what we learn comes from the fellow who's joining us right now, and that's Ken Newmans. And Ken, you have started, or some time ago, I think 95, the Duluth Shipping News. What prompted you to get involved in that? Were you, had you worked on ships? What was your interest?
No, hadn't worked on any ships. As a matter of fact, people have told me, and I'm sure it's true, that if I worked on a ship, I wouldn't be very good at doing the Duluth Shipping News.
Oh.
I came up here in 91, 92 from Minneapolis and was amazed at the big boats. I couldn't believe how big they were. And I'd go down to the ship canal and ask somebody, what's in that boat? And they'd say, I don't know. And I'd say, well, where's the boat going? I don't know. Where's it coming from? I don't know. And I said, aha. I think I'll do a newsletter and explain all that stuff. And if you lived in Duluth, You saw those boats the whole time you were growing up, and it wasn't that big a deal. But if you're new, it's a big deal. And so I saw it as a big deal, and so I started the Duluth Shipping News. It was a very bad business decision. I had a lot of trouble making any money at it, and that's one reason why nobody else did it.
How was it when you first started? I mean, how did you decide what was going to be in there, how you were going to distribute it, all those things, and how did you get it printed?
I'm a bad example. I mean, I really didn't do hardly any planning. I mean, I really didn't. I done newsletters in the past. I had a printer and a computer, and I saw the boats going by, and I started out with a one-page. I think I had one ad the first day and maybe three ads by the end of the first month, and I just put a listing of the boats that were coming and then some information about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of grown. That was only 3 days a week, too, but I quickly found out that if you're going to do a schedule of something happening when things change, you really need to do it every day. And so the second or third year, it became a daily, and it's been that ever since.
And I believe you have an online version now as well.
Yeah, well, I actually started with the DuluthShippingNews.com.
Okay.
When the internet got invented, I thought, gee, I should have a webpage, and I had no idea what to make it of. I was working for a company, Rogers Terminal and Shipping, that was a stevedore, and so they wanted me to do some software on loading boats, and so they said, come on out and take a look at this and see what we can do. So I took a picture of it without any thought about anything except helping them write a program. A couple of years later, the internet came along, and I said, geez, what do I do? Oh, I have this picture of a boat. So I put that picture up, and that was my first picture. It was the Kinsman Independent.
Wow.
And so it's really gone from there. So I mean, really, it's kind of, it's no way to pick a career. Something pops into your life, oh, okay, I'll do this.
Isn't that funny how that works? You know, you have a vision in your head of what you're going to be, and it
no,
just changes.
Oh, yes, exactly. I'm not sure I had a vision of what it was going to
okay.
be, but it kind of walked in. And it's been, you know, I'm very happy. It's been a great 18, 19 years.
You see a lot of ships coming in Duluth. Of course, we see ships that come by here in Grand Marais on the North Shore, usually only when the winds kind of dictate that they're going to, but as they funnel down, you see them coming into that port. Approximately how many ships on average do you see coming in the busy time of year to the Twin Ports?
I think there's about 1,200 a year.
Okay.
And that works out to something like, there's almost always at least one ship. Sometimes there's as many as five or six, seven ships. From a viewer's point of view, doesn't make any difference whether they're coming in or going out. So every boat that comes in goes out a day or so later.
Uh-huh.
So that in terms of viewing ships, there's twice as many as that actually come in.
Right. Moving both directions. What is a typical ship that comes in? Are they coming from overseas? Are they plying the Great Lakes only? How does that work out?
Well, I don't know that there's anything typical. There are 13,000
sure.
footers in the Great Lakes. Each one of them comes to Duluth at least once a year. And five or six of them come about every week, every 2 weeks. And we may be the only port that has all 13,000 footers that come to our port at least once. And they load taconite and coal for the most part. That's what they load. And then we have saltwater ships that come from all over the world that come here to pick up grain. They also bring stuff in here. They bring in wind turbine blades, other kinds of hardware, imported steel, and a variety of other products. And sometimes some big cranes and some big machinery that gets taken up north. And typically, in the best case, a saltwater boat comes in and drops that stuff off and then goes, loads grain, and then takes it somewhere, usually in Europe, oftentimes in it to Italy, Algeria, and to England, sometimes France. We take beet pulp pellets from North Dakota to Spain, where they're used for animal feed. Seems like a long way to go to buy your animal feed. The 13,000 footers are all U.S. flagged, and then there's a bunch of smaller boats that were built mostly in the 50s, 60s, that carry a variety of cargoes. They carry coal and iron ore, but they also carry a lot of limestone. And they go in and about a lot of different ports around the Great Lakes. 1,000 footers are limited. They can't go up any rivers. There's many ports they can't dock and unload cargo. But the smaller ones, just 600 to 700 feet, can go up rivers. And, you know, they're very flexible. They don't carry as much, but they're very flexible. And then there, in the middle of all that is the Canadian fleet. We got a lot of Canadian boats up here, maybe as many as U.S. come in here. And they do a variety of things, and they've been coming for a long time. They bring cement in here on a fairly regular basis. They bring some limestone in. They load coal. They load iron ore to take out, usually to Canadian ports. So it's those three, the saltwater boats, the Canadian boats, and the U.S. boats that come in and out. So it's a very nice variety. I was attracted to the saltwater boats. That really just blew my mind. You know, this is in Duluth, in the middle of the United States. What's a saltwater boat doing in Duluth, Minnesota? Just doesn't make any sense. But they're here, and, you know, on the deck are a bunch of people from Germany, from Poland, from the Philippines, Greece, all over the place. You know, they're all interesting people, almost by definition, at least my definition, because they've been traveling the world. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of stories to tell.
I bet they do. We saw three boats this week that headed up towards Duluth, and I'm sure they're in there now. And I think one was an icebreaker, a couple of tugs maybe.
Well, now you come to the big news of the day.
Oh, good.
This is hot news. We should be on the news for this. In fact, I almost had trouble getting back here in time. A week ago or so, we had three icebreakers come in here, the Mackinac and the Morro Bay and the Kootenay Bay. That may be what you saw.
Yes.
And they did a little bit of work here, and then they left. And they left to escort three boats from two harbors to the Sioux. And the Sioux opens on the 25th, as usual. And it did open, but no boats have gone through the Sioux yet because of ice problems. In my time, I've never seen that. Usually on the 25th of March, there's a lineup of big boats, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 at each end of the Sioux. You know, 6 or 7 going down and 6 or 7 coming up. Now, there's boats there, but nobody's going through the Sioux because of ice troubles. Mm. And you don't go through, if you're going downbound, you don't go through the Sioux if the river below it is clogged with ice. So even though you can go through the locks, after that, there's nowhere to go. So they're sitting there waiting, and Lord knows when they will finish. But one of the boats, the Presque Isle, left here, and it ran into some ice and got injured. I think its hull is broken open. And it's coming back here now. It's halfway across Lake Superior. Might be what boat you could see. It's a boat sometime shortly. It's of course, it'll be dark, but it's a tug barge boat, 1,000-footer. And so it's coming back here under its own power. And just within minutes, we had another one of the boats that you probably saw come down here, the Morro Bay, which is a Coast Guard ice cutter. It had a hole in its bow, and it couldn't go. So it came in lashed to the Alder, which is our local icebreaker, and the Katmai Bay was kind of leading it in. And so two boats that left Duluth are now coming back to get fixed.
Wow.
And that's because of ice. And that's, you know, it's one thing when your boats can't go anywhere. It's another thing when your boats start getting cracked up by the ice. So, and ice is a pretty mean thing.
What I'm hearing then is it's a pretty late year out there, and the season is going to be backed up a little bit.
Yeah, it could be backed up. I kind of joke. It's ridiculous to predict ice and what's going to happen, but it could be a while before that all gets worked out. And that now we're getting into the other season. It gets windy in January. If there's a lot of wind, nothing much happens because the ice is just a big clunk of ice on Lake Superior. But now it's broken up at all ends. And if a big wind that comes, let's say it comes from east, sweeps across Lake Superior, what it does is bring up all that broken ice right into Duluth. And that couple of years we've been just clogged. I think it was in 2003. A big east wind came in late March, and it all went into, well, I shouldn't say it all, but it filled up the Duluth piers in front of the lift bridge. I mean, from the top to the bottom, solid ice. Mm. And wow. our shipping season had started in about the 15th of March, and then at Duluth closed up at the 29th. It didn't open for 3 more weeks. It was very unusual.
What is the earliest? Have there been years where it operates year-round ever, or is it, what's the earliest you can expect things to happen?
Well, I expect things to happen. There's a boat that spends their winter at the Midwest Energy Coal Dock every year. It's a 1,000-footer. And usually that's the first boat to leave, and it usually leaves 13th or 14th of March. It's sitting at the coal dock, so it just gets loaded with coal, and then it goes to a port, oftentimes Marquette or Taconite Harbor, inside Lake Superior. So it doesn't have to wait for the soup, which doesn't open until the 25th.
Okay.
So it'll come back here and load more coal and go to another Lake Superior port, and then come back here and get coal and go to another Lake Superior port. So we have one boat that makes 3 trips before the rest of the boats can move. This year, it didn't leave until just a couple days ago. And that's very unusual. That's a week and a half late. But it's going to come back here. It's got to be back here again tomorrow.
What's the toughest thing for the ships? Is it the ice to deal with, or is it the winds, the storms in late fall when they're kind of towards the end of the season?
Well, I would say wind is the biggest problem. You're not usually alone. I mean, people know what the ice is going to be, and the Coast Guard is out there. So you're not really stuck in the ice. Well, you are stuck in the ice. You have icebreakers around you, and they're trying to work it out, or else you didn't leave port. These days, you don't really find yourself alone when the big wind comes, because we have pretty good weather forecasting. So, it's hard to tell. You get probably more problems when things are going really well, and you might lull yourself to a little bit of sleep, and you have to wake up and remember. We have a number of times that happens. Our boat hits something without any weather problems. But it's hard to tell otherwise. I guess wind, I suppose, and weather is the difficult thing. But the big boats really don't have that much trouble. So it's not a real challenge. And now the boats, in effect, don't have a challenge themselves. They're sitting waiting. The companies that own the boats are going nuts because they're losing lots of money.
Right.
And the crew on the boats are probably getting a little tired of sitting and waiting. But the boats themselves are, there's not much to do when a boat's stuck in the ice.
We're speaking with Kenneth Newhams, and Ken is the founder and publisher of the Duluth Shipping News. And Ken, you've got your office right down there where you can watch a lot of this happening, and other people can watch as well. There's a webcam down there.
There's many webcams.
Okay.
Now, they're popping up all over the place. But I have a webcam on my page at DuluthShippingNews.com, and it's on now. It's in my office, and it just is out on the lift bridge. And I've had that for a couple of years now.
People can tune into that?
Yes. Go to DuluthShippingNews.com. On the menu up there, it'll say webcam, I think.
Okay. Do you operate that? Does that run all the time or just
yes.
when you're in the office? Or?
No, it runs all the time.
And they can kind of see what's happening? They can go to your site and identify what they're looking at?
Well, yeah, the Internet has changed things. I'm no longer very exclusive. There are people all over the Great Lakes that know much more than any of us down here do because they see the boat go by.
Uh-huh.
Or it's the husband or wife of a person on the boat who's calling them because everybody has a cell phone now. So there's all kinds of information that is out there and available. And there's a lot of people on the Internet that pass that information around. And there's a lot of people a lot of groups, particularly in Facebook. So the information is all over the place now. But so far, I think going to DuluthBoats.com is the best place to go to get a good idea of all the boats that are here and going to be here in the next week or so. I kind of pull it all together.
I understand that you work kind of hand-in-hand with the Maritime Museum, their staff down there.
Yes. The schedule that we have, which is at DuluthBoats.com, is a schedule that, for the most part, I did all the computer work behind it and developed a database and a program to input the data. And they do most of the inputting of the data, and I do some. I haven't done much lately because they're over there at a desk answering questions all day, and if I come in every once in a while and add boats, they can forget or they can lose track of what happened. So they kind of keep that going. Mm-hmm. But it's been a nice cooperative effort.
Do you hope to continue to do this for a while? Are you enjoying the work still, and is it still exciting to see these ships come in?
Now, that's a pretty personal question.
I guess it is, yeah. But you're in business, and so do you plan on continuing, or someday you turn the flagship over to the museum, or how's this looking in the future for you?
I don't really know. I mean, one of the things, I'm an older man, leave it at that. And one of the things I've been aware of is that I could do this if I'm in good health until I'm 90.
Great.
Or 92 or, you know, 86 or whatever.
Sure.
And that's kind of nice. And I have tons of information. I have 65,000 pictures.
Wow.
And I moved into an apartment that overlooks the harbor. I could be pretty racked up. It's still, if I can get a computer at the window in my apartment, I could do the Duluth Shipping News. And I have lots of people that tell me, give me information.
Sounds like you're still really enjoying what you do.
Yeah, I am, and it's something I could continue. I don't even think about retirement,
uh-huh.
And it just doesn't occur to me, because this is a fun thing to do, and people that are retired don't know what to do. And I've slowed up a little bit. I do not work, you know, long, hard hours anymore, a little bit harder in the summer. So it's fun. It's really fun to just keep it going. I'm a computer person. I love that, doing all that.
Well, it's sure fun for us here to be able to identify a few of the ships that are going by here, and also to know what's going on down in the big port, down in Duluth, where there's a lot of activity all the time. So we appreciate what you do, and we also want to thank you so much for giving us your time tonight.
It's my pleasure. Enjoyed talking to you.
And we've been speaking with Kenneth Newhams, and Ken is the founder and publisher of the Duluth Shipping News that can be found on the web. Can you give folks the website again?
Yeah, www.duluthshippingnews.com.
And also you can lock on to a webcam and see what's happening live down there too on that site. So Ken, want to thank you again so much.
One other thing.
Go ahead.
The schedule is at duluthboats.com.
Okay. So when they go to one website, it'll refer to the other one maybe?
Yeah, there's a menu choice up there for the schedule. When you get to the schedule, you can click on any ship and see a page of information about the ship, too.
Oh, that's great. Thanks again, Ken.
Very good. My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet.